Anya stood on the main deck, staring out at the inky sea. From her vantage point, she could see nothing to indicate that a huge shark was cruising nearby. She smirked. This was probably how it was all the time. She switched on the flashlight, and its bright beam cut through the swath of darkness, illuminating the waves nearby that foamed white as they slapped into one another. Anya swept the beam across the surface of the water and waited. She hoped this would provoke some sort of reaction from the shark. If Anya could get it to the surface, then maybe she could get a decent look at the thing. She glanced up at the wheelhouse and could see Hunter still leaning over the scope.
Hunter?
Yeah?
Anything yet?
Not a thing. It's still moving at the same pace and on the same course. Maybe it doesn't see the light.
Anya frowned. Surely this shark could see a bright white beam on the surface of the water. She looked out at the waves. She needed something else to help attract the shark, something it wouldn't be able to ignore. Anya checked to see if the crew had left anything nearby that she could use, but the stern of the boat was remarkably absent of clutter. The dive platform hovered a few inches below the surface of the water, and before she could think things through, she sat down and pulled her socks off.
Maybe I am crazy.
Anya?
Anya ignored Hunter as she stepped off the back of the boat and onto the dive platform. She shuddered as her feet went into the water. She was standing in it up to her ankles. She felt a wave of fear wash over her. Now she was actually in the ocean with this thing, even though she was technically still on the boat. If the shark rammed hard enough, she might lose her footing and that would be it. Anya used the flashlight beam again, aiming it just off the stern of the boat, closer to where she stood. With her other hand, Anya held the back railing for dear life.
Anya!
Hunter had come out of the wheelhouse and down the stairs leading to the stern.
What the hell are you doing?
I've got to see if I can get this thing interested in me or if it's doing something else.
I can't help you if it attacks.
Just keep watching the scope and let me know if it starts to change course. Give me as much warning as you can.
Yeah, all right.
Hunter vanished back up the stairs, leaving Anya alone on the lolling platform. She was cold, and her instincts were shouting at her to get back up onto the deck. Right now, all that separated her from the deep was a few inches of steel. The flashlight beam cut into the darkness and then died only 10 yards away from the boat. Anya could see the frothy white caps cresting in time to the sway of the boat. A stronger breeze blew, and she shivered again. Her left hand ached from holding the railing so tightly, but there was no way she'd loosen her grip. Anya's stomach cramped slightly, and she realized that if the shark did indeed decide to check out the light, she had no way of summoning her sword if necessary. Both of her hands were fully occupied. No, the time for the sword would be later, if it got to that point. If this was just a shark acting like a shark, then Anya didn't see any real need to fight it. Jock's death notwithstanding, there was already enough shark slaughter happening elsewhere in the world, and Anya didn't want to contribute to it any further. She frowned. There should have been some reaction to the presence of the light by now.
Anya?
Yeah?
You okay?
I'm wondering why this shark hasn't responded to my presence or to this flashlight beam.
You thought it would?
Hell, I don't know what I thought. It was more of an experiment than anything else.
The scope isn't showing much. It's still there, but its movements are as slow as it was before. It's like it either doesn't know or it doesn't care that you're there.
I could go for a swim.
No, you could not.
Relax, I told you I wasn't suicidal. And even if I was, I wouldn't do it like that.
All right, don't make me haul you back aboard against your will.
Like you could. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Anya, why don't you get back on the boat now?
Yeah, hang on a second.
Anya swept the flashlight beam as far as she could, but the inexorable darkness simply swallowed it up beyond 10 yards.
I can't see a damn thing.
Neither can I, but I think you should get back on the boat.
Get back to the wheelhouse and tell me what you see.
I'm not leaving you alone out here.
I'll be fine. Just do it, okay?
Anya.
Hunter, just do it. I need to know if this thing is coming at me or not.
Fine.
Anya turned back to look out at the ocean. More wind blew up, and she felt her fear rising with it. The shark might be heading right for her, and she wouldn't know it unless her flashlight beam cut across its shape in the dark.
Anya!
What?
It's coming at you, but still slowly.
How far?
Maybe 50 yards.
Anya frowned. She wouldn't see it yet. She just had to keep the beam on. She flashed the light across the waves. and then the glow dimmed.
Oh, crap.
The light beam vanished, plunging the area into total darkness. It was a constant she could always count on. Poorly charged batteries ruining something. She suddenly felt a lot more exposed without the aid of the flashlight.
Time to get back on the boat.
Anya turned and stepped back onto the rear deck. Anya tried to see, but she couldn't.
It's gone!
Would you say?
Gone! One moment it was headed right at you, the next it vanished.
The next morning, Cole approached Anya as she helped herself to scrambled eggs in the galley.
Heard you had an interesting night.
Oh?
Hunter mentioned that you guys tracked the shark on the sonar around midnight.
I thought he and I agreed that telling you might not be the best thing to do.
Why? Because he thought I would get the old wetsuit on and go for a midnight swim?
Something like that. Hunter didn't want you going overboard without much to go on. We were just trying to get some sort of beat on the thing last night.
Which is why you felt the need to taunt it with the flashlight?
Believe me, taunting was the last thing I wanted to do. The batteries in the flashlight died anyway. I never saw a thing. I heard some splashing, though.
Splashing?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So what now? What's our next play?
I need to get out there.
In the water?
That's generally where the sharks are, yeah.
It's not safe. Something tells me you shouldn't be in the water. No one should be.
Anya, in case you haven't noticed, this is a huge investment we're undertaking. And for Hunter, it's something of a personal quest.
Yeah, he mentioned that to me last night before the shark showed up.
I can't imagine what the poor guy's been feeling ever since Brazil. God knows I've tried to give him his space, but this dive is important to him. The Phantom Wreck is a legend in treasure hunting circles. A lot of people, most of them in fact, tend to think it's a wild goose chase. That there's nothing much of value on the ship itself.
But not Hunter.
No. And I don't believe it either. I think she just might be the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And that would mean vindication. Hell, it would rejuvenate the guy. And tell him that all of his dreams weren't just some silly notion.
Vindication's important.
It's vital. When he came to me and had to ask for help, it must have broken his spirit. We'd always had a fair relationship, but, you know.
It was him coming to you hat in hand. I get it.
No one wants to do that.
Have you told Hunter you're going into the water today?
Not yet.
What do you think his reaction will be?
He'll freak.
Rightly so.
And then I'll explain that by not going into the water, we're putting this whole dive at risk. As soon as I do that, he'll encourage me to go for a swim.
You ought to have a cage.
I will. It should arrive today.
You're certain about that?
Hunter got a radio call from the shore. They'll be transporting it out in an hour or so. Once we get it on board, I'll go over the side and do some reconnaissance and check what's happening below us. See what the scene looks like. If it's all good, then we'll bring some divers down and keep the search on for the Phantom.
And if it's not good? If the shark shows up?
Well, then, obviously, I'll be very happy indeed.
And what if the shark happens to have an appetite for shark cages?
Not going to happen. And besides, this is the strongest shark cage designed. Even a giant megalodon would have a hard time dealing with it.
You're still on that?
The Meg? Sure, why not? Can't you see how amazing that would be? A giant prehistoric shark swimming off the Nova Scotia coast would mean headlines around the world. The world's scientists would have to revisit the notion that the species died out. And if the Meg has survived, then surely it might mean that other species have as well.
Something tells me that Hunter's not the only one on a quest for the Holy Grail here.
Well,
just so long as you remember that people's lives are on the line.
I know. I saw how badly Hunter got treated in those lawsuits. I've made certain, ever since I came on to help with the hunts, that we've always put safety first.
So how will you handle Jock's death?
That will have to do very much. Jock apparently had very little family back in the UK. Left home at 16 and joined the military.
That's sad.
Life happens. Anyway, the cage will be here soon and I'll go for a swim. You're welcome to join me.
Why would I want to do that?
Because you almost did last night. Without the benefit of the cage, I might add.
It was just an idea, and not my most lucid moment at that.
But you had the urge, didn't you?
I was terrified. Look, I know how to stare death in the face, provided that face is human. But a shark? That's not something I've ever had to deal with. Not sure I could.
I understand. But when you went into that cage off Montauk, you felt empowered, right?
I felt scared. But, yeah, it felt good confronting that particular demon.
So come in with me and test your limits again. I know what you're going through.
How's that?
Look, I saw Jaws when I was a kid like everyone else. For several years, I wouldn't go anywhere near the ocean. If I couldn't see the bottom, I wanted no part of it. I stuck with pools and lakes, thinking they were safer.
Well, they are.
Yeah, but at the same time, I used to marvel at the sharks themselves. There's something incredible about them. That's what eventually won out over my fear. And when I went to the aquarium, it was always the sharks that swam in the huge tanks that drew my attention the most.
You can't deny the records of attacks on humans, though.
Like any other animal, sharks just get a bad rap. What humans need to remember is really very simple.
And what's that?
That as soon as we step into the water, we're no longer the dominant species. We're in their world, and all the rules change.
Are you going to be able to remember that later today when you go down there?
If I don't, I'm dead.
By 10 o'clock, Anya heard the telltale sound of an approaching motor. She went out on deck and saw a smaller boat powering up to the Seeker. Strapped down on the bow was a large cage, not entirely unlike the one she and Cole had used back on Montauk.
Ah, there it is now. Looks great, doesn't it?
I guess. You sure something like that will protect you from that giant cruising down there?
Only one way to find out.
The boat came alongside the Seeker. A grizzled old salt dog came out of the wheelhouse.
Ahoy there!
I see you got the package.
This for you, then?
Yep.
Wasting your time, mate. There haven't been any sharks in these waters for years and years. Nothing worth eating up here. The seals even avoid the area for some reason.
Anya stared at the scars running down the man's face into the turtleneck he wore.
Why's that?
Locals claim the waters are haunted.
Haunted?
Lot of wrecks down below there. None that have ever really been found, mind you. Pretty much everyone that goes out looking for them winds up struck by tragedy.
Like what?
Oh, some of the ships go aground themselves. Others, well, a storm blows up and when it's over, no ship.
Great.
And the locals think that the wrecks of ships have something to do with that?
Everything to do with it, actually. They say the souls of those who died out here have never gone over to the other side and continue to haunt these waters. If their burial grounds get defiled, it's said they'll take their revenge.
And here you thought this was just about the shark, Anya.
Imagine that.
If you can get the boat closer, I can unstrap the cage and transfer it over.
You'll need some help there, mate. It's a bit heavier than other cages.
Is it?
No, 12 millimeter on this one. They went a few more thick. Said something about needing it stronger than the usual ones. Know anything about that?
Can't say as I do.
Liar.
What?
You are scared.
Fine, I might be a little nervous. But I can't let it stop me from doing this, so I just took a few extra precautions is all. Most of the cages in circulation these days have had some field testing. They know they can withstand the bite pressures of the great whites cruising around. But something this big? I just thought I'd better be prepared for the worst-case scenario.
Glad to hear it.
Anya turned and saw Hunter standing behind her.
Seriously, it's nice to see you using your head for once.
Don't try to stop me from going in the water today, okay? We both know I need to get down there and see for myself what we're dealing with.
I'm not going to stop you. I am going to help you get the cage winched over here, though.
Anya watched Hunter and Cole swing the small winch at the back of the Seeker over toward the smaller boat. The shark cage went aloft and then drifted out into the space between the two boats.
Easy. Don't drop it.
Just keep quiet. I know what I'm doing.
Anya watched as the cage swung over toward the stern of the Seeker, and then Hunter guided it to a small area on deck.
What did I tell you?
Nice work.
I take it you're going to want to get right in the water.
That's the idea. Once I'm down there and make a positive identification of the shark, figure out what species it is, then we'll know how much work we have to do. Or if we need to somehow get rid of the shark.
And if it turns out we do?
If we have to kill the shark, we will, all right? Is that what you want to hear me say?
Yes, it is. Look, I know you want to keep the fish safe. I understand that. But you also have an investment here. You know that we can lose our money if this thing hangs around.
Maybe it's a ghost shark.
Are you on drugs, Anya?
I didn't see you guys laughing when the salt dog over there suggested the area was haunted by sailors who went down here.
That's because there are haunted bits of sea around the world.
He's right. Been to plenty of them before.
Ghosts of sailors?
Yep.
Anya looked at the shark cage. It was large enough to accommodate more than one person.
You're really thinking about getting me down in that thing, aren't you?
Well, it is big enough.
I don't know if I have the stones to do it.
I thought we were done talking about this. I thought we settled on the fact that Anya wouldn't go anywhere near the ocean unless it was something she wanted to do.
All right. I know when I'm beaten, but I will be getting wet.
Go. Get your wetsuit on, then join us down by the stern.
Cole walked off. Hunter watched him go.
He's like a big kid when he gets one of his new toys.
Hunter led Anya down to the stern. She ran her hands over the galvanized steel bars of the cage. They certainly felt impressively strong, but she did think it was silly to test the cage with someone in it.
Can't we do it another way? Maybe chum the water and coax the shark up to attack the cage just so we can see if it can handle the bite?
Cole will never go for it. He's the kind of guy who wants to get into the thick of things. If he's not right in it, then he's dying inside.
Better that than dying in a cage that doesn't work.
It should work. If anyone knows how to build these things, Cole does. He had a bad experience once when a cage did fail on him.
Are you kidding?
Nope. The bars had rusted and fell apart when a nosy great white came calling. Cole was lucky to get out of there with his life. That was the last time he ever trusted anyone but himself to make the call in the nature of cages.
He studied their construction?
Yeah. Went and visited with Rodney Fox, the Australian dude who first came up with the idea for them, after he got attacked back in the 60s.
Did it help?
Yeah, Cole returned with a better appreciation for the mechanics involved. It wasn't just about how to stave off attacks. It was about teaching the sharks that there was a barrier that they couldn't get through. That added psychological bit helps protect the diver.
I see.
None of this is doing much for your confidence, is it?
Nope.
At least you're honest. But here comes Captain Wetsuit as we speak.
Anya turned and saw Cole walking toward them. He was strapping on a weight belt and nodded at the dive locker near the cage.
How are the tanks?
Fully charged. I made sure.
Thanks.
I don't know how you do it.
No real difference between this and what you do. You confront scorpions and snakes and people who want to kill you, right?
Yeah.
This is the same thing, except it's a big fish trying to get up close and personal with me.
I think I prefer my life.
Just keep an eye on me. That's all I ask.
Hunter helped him strap on the oxygen tanks and then checked the flow to Cole's regulator. Cole held up his thumb, then strapped swim fins on his feet.
Just be careful, bro. Don't try to be a hero.
Hunter fired up the winch and then lifted the cage up and over the side of the boat. Anya watched as the buoyant tanks kept the cage floating on the top of the water. Cole looked at it for a moment and then nodded.
Time to go.
I'll be keeping an eye on the scope.
Cole bit into his regulator, glanced at Anya, and then stepped overboard, disappearing into the cold ocean water. Anya watched the foam from the splash fade into a sea of bubbles from Cole's scuba gear. She could see him settling into the depths, looking all around him to make sure the immediate coast was clear.
He okay?
Anya saw Hunter watching from the stairs. She pointed at Cole's head, which was visible just below the surface.
Seems fine. He's just making sure he's settled, and then I imagine he'll be in better shape.
Okay.
Anything on the scope?
Jack says it's clear.
You trust her?
She knew Jock and doesn't want that to happen to anyone else on this trip. You let me know if Cole gets too far away. The only thing keeping him connected to the boat are those heavy ropes securing the cage to the back. If those get cut, then he's out there alone.
Cut?
Just make sure they don't.
Anya moved back to the side of the boat and saw that Cole seemed to be checking in all directions. But she saw nothing from her perspective that would indicate that something was down there with him. Certainly nothing like the giant shark that had appeared on the scope. Anya leaned against the gunwale.
Maybe this is all a mistake. Maybe that was a whale that just didn't breach while we were tracking it. Sperm whales can dive for up to 40 minutes on one breath of oxygen. And we didn't watch the screen all that long.
Jock had clearly been torn apart by something, but it didn't have to be a shark. Maybe it was a killer whale. Anya had heard they could be dangerous to humans. She turned and looked at the cage again. Cole was hovering mid-depth and seemed fine.
What?
Anya's instincts were already hauling her away from the side of the boat as the giant head breached the surface, showing a huge gaping maw of serrated teeth.
Ah!
Cole had turned toward the commotion, and even at a distance, Anya could see his frantic movement as he registered the massive fish in the water. The dorsal fin broke the surface and stood fully 3 feet out of the waves.
Hunter, look at it!
Jesus Christ, that's huge!
How big is your boat?
Just over 100 feet.
How big would you say that fish is?
Maybe 40 feet.
It's heading for Cole!
Anya watched as the dorsal fin sliced through the water. She could see Cole shifting in the water to brace for the impact. Anya thought the shark lifted the cage almost completely out of the water. Cole's body seemed to bounce off one side of the cage. Hunter started working on the ropes, undoing the knots that held the cage in place.
Haul him in!
Anya and two other crew members helped him.
Jax!
Yo!
Get us closer to the cage! We've got to help Cole!
Roger that.
Anya saw the churn of ocean water kicking up white as the Seeker reversed course. Hunter had his knots undone and started hauling the cage toward them.
Where'd it go?
Anya frowned. The dorsal fin had vanished.
I don't know, but we've got to get Cole back here. If he was knocked out by that ramming, he might drown.
They yanked on the ropes, and slowly the cage started coming toward them.
That's it. Reel him in.
There was a sudden spray of water as the shark's head broke the surface again and its teeth sliced through the ropes.
Shit!
Hunter ran for the gaff and leaned out, trying to hook the edge of Cole's cage, which floated just out of range.
Get down!
Anya yanked him back as the shark raced through the expanse where Hunter's body had been a second before.
Jax! I need us back at that cage now!
Hunter got the winch hook ready and handed it to Anya.
As soon as it comes in range, hook it and I'll get him out of there.
Got it.
She watched as the cage drifted closer. She could see the dorsal fin still cutting through the waves farther away from the ship. The crew was watching in awe as they saw the fish circling.
Get ready, Anya!
It's coming back again!
Anya risked a look and saw the dorsal fin turning back toward the boat. It was on a direct path to intercept Cole's cage again.
Hunter!
Almost there!
She could see Cole drifting in the water, but he seemed unresponsive. He must have been knocked out against the bars when the shark hit the first time. Anya saw the fin dipping below the surface.
It's going deep.
She felt certain this attack would come from the bottom, lifting the cage clear as it hit. The cage came closer, slowly, and then Anya realized that she was leaning way out toward it. She snapped the hook into place and jerked herself back.
Now, Hunter, now!
Cole slumped as the water receded and then lay down near the bottom of the cage, hoisted at an odd angle by the oxygen tanks. Anya braced for the sudden reappearance of the shark breaching from far below, but it never came. The only thing breaking the smooth surface of the sea was the steady dripping from the steel cage. Hunter winched the cage back onto the deck, and then Anya waved over some of the crew.
We've got to get him out of there. Help me turn the cage on its side, and then it'll be easier.
Together, they maneuvered the cage until it lay with the opening facing them. Anya scrambled inside and worked her way toward the other end where Cole's body was.
Cole!
She got no response and yanked his mask off and pulled the regulator out of his mouth. She wriggled him out of the oxygen tank straps. Then he collapsed against her. Anya struggled to take his weight, and in the close confines of the cage, she found it tough to do so.
Someone help me!
Give him to me, Anya.
Anya backed out of the cage and watched as Hunter dragged Cole free and laid him out on the deck. Hunter tore off the wetsuit and pressed his fingers to Cole's neck, searching for a pulse.
He's alive.
Thank God.
The attack must have knocked him out. He must have clamped down on the regulator knowing what would happen.
Cole's eyes fluttered open.
Anya?
I'm here. Are you all right?
Head hurts. Oh, that was some hit I took in the cage.
It was some shark that hit you. Can you stand?
I think so.
Cole got to his feet, helped by Anya and Hunter. He stood for a moment and swayed. Anya helped him steady himself.
Thanks. Glad that you're here.
I got you out of there, you know.
Yeah, but you're not nearly as attractive as Anya.
Granted.
If you two are finished... So, Cole, you saw it.
I think everyone did. It's massive. Definitely a member of the Carcharodon family. But I can't tell if it's a Meg or not. Going by size, it certainly could be.
Could it just be a great white? Maybe a really big one?
I don't see how. There's not enough food in these waters to sustain a creature of that size.
It must have been 40 feet at least. Probably weighs 6 tons. It was incredible, the dorsal alone.
Maybe 3 feet. It was terrifying.
Did you see it up close?
Did I? Talk about smiling for the camera. Holy crap.
All right. So what happens now? I mean, we've got a monster shark hanging around. How do we handle this? We've still got a business to run, and something tells me that our being here won't dissuade this shark.
It won't. This shark is here to stay.
Then how do we handle it?
Carefully. I got a good look at those teeth.
You weren't in the water with it. I may never sleep again. We're going to have to think about this long and hard, because we can't just go back into the water without a plan. A good plan.
Hunter! They all turned and saw Jax approaching.
Good work on that reversing there, Jax.
We got a bigger problem now.
What's that?
You better follow me to the engine room to see for yourself.
With Jax leading the way, Hunter and Anya threaded their way through the narrow corridors of the ship and down into the engine room. Cole stayed on deck to clear his head. Anya could smell something burning and frowned. When Jax pulled open the engine room door, clouds of dark smoke billowed out.
What the hell?
The engine's got something in it. Maybe some water, maybe we ground the gears, I don't know. But this is bad.
The Seeker has brand new engines. This shouldn't be happening.
Anya peered around him and couldn't see much of anything because of the smoke.
It can't be very good to stay in here. We'll suffocate if we do.
Jax, blow the smoke out and get Sammy down here to look at this. The engines are his game.
All right.
Anya turned and found her way out.
Why are the engines doing that?
Sammy will be able to tell us. For right now, let's worry about Cole. Even in a worst-case scenario, we'll be able to get help from the mainland. It's not like we're 50 miles offshore, you know.
Fortunately.
But fire worries me.
They worked their way back on deck, and Anya saw Cole staring out at the ocean.
You feeling better?
Yeah. And I owe you an apology.
Why's that?
Because I wanted you to come in the cage with me. I've been around sharks a very long time. I thought for sure there wouldn't be a problem.
I think we can all agree this shark is something of an anomaly.
Biggest one I've ever seen. I mean, whale sharks get huge too, but not ones like this. Well, I guess we'll call it a great white for now, until the jury comes back on the whole Meg thing.
Still clinging.
Yep.
You must have been terrified when you saw it coming for the cage.
I found myself very glad that I'd insisted on the custom job rather than the stock cage they wanted to ship me. That extra bit of steel helped cushion the attack.
Such as it was.
Indeed.
Anya could see the surface of the ocean had gone still again. It looked like the polished glass of a mirror. She marveled at the different facets of an ocean, how it could go from a swirling maelstrom in one moment to pure calm. And it never revealed the secrets that it kept concealed beneath the waves.
What happens now?
I don't know. I'm still replaying everything in my head. Not that there's all that much, mind you. Getting knocked out cold on the first pass wasn't exactly my game plan for the day.
What are you replaying exactly?
Something doesn't seem right. About the shark, I mean. Maybe I'm trying to drive the square peg of a great white's behavior into the round hole of what just happened, but something isn't making sense.
Like what?
Not sure yet. I just have to let my subconscious process things for a while. But there's something there, all right. It's weird.
You gonna get changed out of that wetsuit before lunch?
Yeah.
Cole got up and walked toward the crew quarters. Anya watched him go and then turned back toward the ocean. She closed her eyes and felt herself expand outward, searching with her subconscious. Something didn't feel right to her either. He stood about 5 feet tall and almost as wide, leading Anya to wonder how he could work in the close confines of the engine room. He held up a rusted, 3-inch-long screw.
That's your culprit. Jammed up the gears on the engine transmission. That's why we started smoking. And if I hadn't found it in time, it probably would have wrecked the engines outright.
But what's it doing in our engines? Ours are brand new. This thing looks ancient.
Well, that'd be a bit beyond my department, boss. The fact that it was in the engines leads me to wonder who might have put it there. Screws like that don't appear out of nowhere. Someone had to put the damn thing in where I found it, which is tucked back nicely, so a cursory examination would have missed it on the first few passes.
Cole took the screw from Hunter and turned it over in his hand.
How well do you know your crew, bro?
I thought I knew them all well enough to trust them with the delicate aspects of this operation.
It would seem that's not exactly the case. Someone might be playing for the other side.
What other side?
Cole gets a bit paranoid about this stuff.
It's not paranoia. Anytime you're talking about treasure, there's always the risk that someone else will hear about your hunt and then take steps to, shall we say, throw up challenges to your operation.
So you think this is an active attempt to derail this treasure hunt? That would mean the traitors are still among us.
I don't like looking at any of my people like they're criminals.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, that screw didn't find its way into the engines by itself. You got a rat on board, Mr. Williams. God knows what they'll try next.
He's right.
I know it, damn it. But the prospect of treating everyone like a suspect doesn't sit well with me. I know what it's like to face questioning. It's not something I take lightly.
No one's accusing you of being a hard ass, but for the sake of this trip, we've got to find out what's going on. Our investment's at risk, and our lives could very well be in jeopardy. Combine this with the attack on Anya, and we've got a real problem to tackle.
And the shark?
Well, fortunately for us, the last time I checked, sharks don't come on board the boats they stalk.
I meant, what about studying it?
I know what you meant, bro. But I think we have to put a stop to everything until we can get to the bottom of this. We can't risk being distracted with anything else right now.
You're right. We'll get this done, and then finish the hunt.
Good.
Where do we start?
Hunter, you have personnel files on everyone on board?
Not exactly.
Why not?
Things in this business are a bit looser than that. Hell, you think I'd have gotten Jax if she had to fill out some elaborate background check?
Not sure that would be a big deal, honestly.
She's good, bro. She knows her stuff. And if it wasn't for her putting that boat into reverse earlier, Anya would never have been able to snag your cage and get you out of the drink.
That true, Anya?
Yeah. Jax might be rough around the edges.
They're serrated.
But she knows her stuff. It's obvious.
All right, Hunter, so what do you have?
Resumes and the like? Everyone gave me one of those.
But you didn't check any of them out.
I called the reference numbers.
Easy enough to dummy those up. We don't have any leads to go on.
Well, there's always the direct approach.
Which is what?
Make an announcement and then start interviewing people. One of them has to be guilty.
And if it's more than one?
We could always cut them up and use them for chum.
Hunter set them up in his quarters, which really weren't that much better than the crew quarters Anya shared with Cole. But there was room enough for a small table and space for them to sit behind it. Anya nursed a cup of coffee while Hunter and Cole went through the resumes.
How many?
10, not including us or Tom.
Who are we starting with?
Doesn't make sense to question Sammy or Jax. I've got a friend I can radio back on the mainland who can look into their past if I want. I'd rather keep them where they are right now. Jax is manning the wheel?
She's not due to get relieved for a while. Sam is working on the engine to get it all fixed and make sure there wasn't any other damage.
Cole looked at the top resume.
Good. So that means we start with this guy, Dave Crosby. What's his position?
Dive master. He's good hands-on for the dig itself. He knows how to work the vacuum that we use to extract the sand without damaging anything underneath it.
Let's get him in here.
Dave Crosby, please report to the captain's quarters. Thanks.
Enter.
Anya had seen the man who came in before. He was an average-looking guy with short sandy hair and blue eyes. But his chest looked like a barrel, no doubt from his diving experience.
Just a few questions for you, Dave, then you'll be on your way, all right?
This about the engine room fire?
It wasn't a fire, just a bit of smoke.
Okay.
You've been diving long?
Almost 20 years. Got my start in the Bahamas where my folks ran a dive shop. I left and joined the Navy.
What'd you do there?
I started on a frigate and then put in my application for the SEALs.
How'd that work out for you?
You want my bud's class number?
Sure.
It's 263. Hell Week was in the middle of winter. We nearly froze undergoing surf torture.
Cole and Hunter looked at Anya, who was still staring at Dave.
Go on.
You know about it?
I've met a few of your comrades over the years. They told me something about what you guys go through to wear the Budweiser.
Less than 4 hours of sleep over the course of the entire week. You know what sleep deprivation can do to you?
I take it you passed.
Everyone in my boat crew did. None of us would have quit if you put a gun to our heads.
What happened after you graduated?
I saw action abroad. Not really sure I can talk about any of it.
When'd you graduate?
In 1996.
Anya counted back in her head and came up with a half dozen possible overseas assignments in which Dave could have participated.
When'd you get out?
After Afghanistan, 2002. Before they sent us into Iraq. I went back home and kicked around there for a while. People find out you were a SEAL, they want to live vicariously through you. Tell you how they did something almost as tough as what you went through. But there's nothing I've heard of that even comes close. Kind of sad, really.
Did you sabotage the boat?
If I wanted to sabotage this boat, it wouldn't be floating. I know at least 36 ways to blow this thing in two and send her right to the bottom.
I'll bet you do.
Anya looked at Hunter and shook her head.
All right, Dave. You're secure. Thanks for your time.
No sweat. You find out who's doing this, I hope you'll let me have a crack at them. I don't like traitors.
You sure about that, Anya?
Just didn't get that vibe from him. He seems very switched on, and the fact that he was a SEAL...
Unless he was lying.
Doubt it. Anyone who goes through Hell Week never forgets their class number. They'll rattle it off without a second's thought. I think he's legit, and he'd certainly know how to blow this ship up if he wanted.
All right, let's keep it moving.
Hunter picked up the next resume.
Yeah, okay. Let's see what Sheila has to say. I was on the fence about her when I hired her.
Why's that?
Says she specialized in antiques from the early 19th century, but something didn't seem right about her.
Anya, you any good with that era?
Nope. But we'll see where the conversation goes.
Sheila Hope, please report to the captain's quarters. Thanks.
Yes?
Come on in.
Anya watched the way she moved. There was a litheness to her movements. Sheila fairly slid into the room like cream flowing out of a cup. There was no wasted movement. And Anya felt herself tensing slightly as she recognized someone who was very at ease in her own body.
Just a few questions.
About the fire.
Is that what everyone's saying, that it was a fire?
All that smoke. Sure seemed like a fire to those of us not down there with you guys.
Just a badly burned screw, nothing more. Where were you earlier?
Why?
Because we want to know.
You think I did it? You think I sabotaged the boat's engines? Why would I do that?
Why wouldn't you?
Sheila turned and fixed her stare on Anya.
Sorry? Who exactly are you again? And why would I answer to you?
Do you know who I am, Sheila?
Yeah, you're the nut who swims with sharks.
Thanks, Hunter.
Your reputation precedes you, bro. I had nothing to do with that one.
Sheila, it's my money that's backing this venture. You understand what that means?
You're the one in charge.
Hunter's heading the crew, but who stays and who goes is up to me. Now, if I ask you a question, or Hunter asks you a question, you answer us. As for Anya, she's here as an expert. She's got a background in psychology and has worked for the FBI. So, if she asks you a question, it would probably be in your best interest to answer it as well. Got it?
Sheila nodded and looked back at Anya.
Sorry.
Forget it. Just tell me a little something about yourself. How'd you get interested in this stuff?
I hate boats. I'm here for the chance to see some of the artifacts from the White House.
You really think this is the place you're gonna find them?
I know what the so-called experts think. That the Phantom is a ghost chase, and it doesn't really have anything on it after all. But I don't believe them. I think this ship is carrying actual relics from the White House, and I want to be here when they come up.
How'd you find out about the operation here?
I answered a classified ad in the Washington Post. Hunter put it there.
The ad said that I was gathering a team of experts who specialize in early 19th century antiques. Nothing about the treasure hunt. Too risky to do that.
Imagine my surprise when I get the gig and he tells me I'm going on a boat. I've been constantly seasick since I got here.
You were sick yesterday?
Pretty much all day. I was in my cabin. You can inspect my toilet if you don't believe me.
Why would I do that? You don't flush?
Are we through here? I'm not feeling very well again, and I'd like to go lie down.
Sure. Take it easy.
Anya held up her hand before anyone could speak, and waited a few seconds before getting out of her chair. She walked to the door and opened it a crack, checking the hallway outside. Sheila was gone.
Well, she gets my vote as a possible.
Really?
I didn't see anything suspicious about her. Just struck me as someone who wasn't feeling very well and didn't want to have to bother with this line of questioning.
She said she hates boats.
Yeah? So what?
Did you see the way she moved?
I wasn't really paying attention to that, to be honest.
You should. For someone who hates boats as much as she claims, she certainly knows how to move. She's well used to being on boats. If she wasn't, she would have been a lot more unsteady on her feet. But she looked pretty damned graceful to me.
So she was lying about it? I guess she could be. Hunter, how did she seem when you interviewed her for the position?
She was the first person to phone. Kind of funny, actually. I got the call from her at 8 o'clock in the morning on the day the ad ran. Talk about eager beaver. She was a bit put off when I decided to hire her and told her about the boat.
Could have been an act. I'm telling you that she has been on boats for a long time. She wouldn't be able to move like that if she had such a fear of them. She's our primary, I think.
I don't want to jump the gun on this, Anya. We need to be sure before we accuse her.
Fine. I understand. But let's keep her in our sights until we can rule other people out of the equation.
How are we going to do that? We can't sit outside her cabin on surveillance. It would be kind of obvious.
Leave that to me. You guys are okay here without me.
You're leaving?
I've heard enough. I think Sheila is our target. But she might not be acting alone. That's where you guys come in. Try to ferret out her accomplice if she's got one. I'm pretty sure there were two people in my cabin yesterday when I was attacked. That means there's still another traitor in our midst.
And where are you going?
No place special. Just visiting a friend.
Anya walked down the corridor toward the crew quarters. She felt confident that Sheila was the person who had attacked her. She just moved too smoothly to be anything remotely like a seasick bystander.
Maybe Sheila's already asleep.
Anya almost smirked. She didn't believe that. Sheila was probably perched somewhere behind the door to her quarters, waiting for Anya to knock. Anya crept closer to the door. She placed one hand on the doorknob and started to turn it. The door was pulled open, and Anya found herself dragged into the room. She spun, already lashing out with a kick. Her foot caught Sheila across the bridge of her nose. Anya saw the rush of bright red blood cascade down the woman's face. But Sheila immediately rushed Anya, tackling her around her midsection. They tumbled back onto the mattress. Sheila lunged, launching an elbow strike at Anya's head. Anya ducked under and drove her own elbow into Sheila's midsection. Sheila staggered, but brought her hammer fist down on Anya's skull. Anya fought off the fog that threatened to overtake her. She shoved back at Sheila and drove her off the mattress, across the room, and into the wall. Sheila's head snapped back against the wall, but as Anya approached her, she snapped her knee up and into Anya's midsection. Anya sagged, but drove down and locked Sheila's knee out before yanking back. Sheila lost her balance and fell.
Stop!
Anya saw the pistol coming up in Sheila's hand. She skidded to a halt and stared at Sheila.
So you'll shoot me now? Is that it?
With her free hand, Sheila wiped her sleeve across her nose.
Oh, I think you broke it.
I'd break your neck if I could.
I don't doubt it. I was warned that you'd be formidable. You're good, Anya Creed. I'll give you that.
Put the gun down and we'll continue.
I don't think so. I'm not really into unarmed combat when a gun can solve things a lot faster.
The gun Sheila held didn't waver in the slightest.
Have a seat on the bed. You and I need to talk without Hunter and Cole overhearing.
You're gonna shoot me. May as well get it over with now, don't you think?
Sit down, Anya. I won't ask again.
Anya took a seat on the mattress, actually grateful for the chance to sit. The strike to her head had rung her bell, and she wanted nothing more than to cradle her skull and wish the pain away. Sheila watched her for a moment.
You know, you and me, we're a lot alike.
How do you figure that?
Well, we're obviously both gifted fighters. I've fought a lot of people, as I know you have. And very few can hold their own against me. Not that I'm bragging or anything.
Oh, of course not. That doesn't necessarily mean we're alike, Sheila.
Means we're more alike than we are different. Surely you can see that.
What I see is a woman who has sabotaged this operation and nearly cost the crew their lives for some reason I don't yet fathom.
So you assume that I'm the one who damaged the engine? Why? I mean, if you don't mind me asking and all.
I saw the way you moved.
Ah, yes. The seasick comment. I knew you were good. I'm not what you think I am.
Look, someone knocked me out yesterday. I suspect it was two people, actually, but whatever. And then today, we have the engine room mishap. Now you're the only person I've met on board who seems capable of doing that stuff, so in my book, it's pretty apparent who the troublemaker is around here.
Well, I did knock you out yesterday. But it was just me. No one else.
And you'd tell me the truth why, exactly?
So we can build a little trust here.
Why would I want to trust you? You've got a gun on me.
That's true. I do.
Sheila smirked and lowered the gun.
I can bring it back to bear on you in the flick of an eye, so don't give me a cause to, okay?
We need to have a serious conversation about what's going on here.
So what is going on here?
First things first. Do you at least believe that I may not be the root cause of all the trouble here?
Maybe. I'm still getting over the knock to my poor skull.
An unfortunate event, I assure you. You weren't supposed to be back at your cabin that quickly. I thought I had plenty of time to go through your gear.
Why would you need to go through my equipment?
To make sure you were who you said you were.
Are there a lot of other women going around claiming to be me?
You'd be surprised.
Anya looked at Sheila. The longer she did so, the more Sheila's guise of the antiques expert seemed to slip. Anya could read the steely resolve in her eyes. Whoever had trained her, they'd done one hell of a good job. Anya knew organizations that were capable of training someone like Sheila to that level, and she didn't relish the involvement of any one of them.
So why exactly is the CIA involved in this operation?
You think I'm CIA?
You're obviously well-trained. I ran down the list of organizations that could churn out someone like you. It's a short one.
I am not CIA.
If you're not CIA, then you're with some intelligence outfit. Maybe military?
Take the government out of the equation. Who could train someone like me? Realistically.
Realistically? I know two people who could. But it would take a lot of time.
And who would those two people be?
Suppose I don't feel like sharing their names with you.
It doesn't matter. I think I've gotten your thought process back on track. At least enough that I'll finish the work for you.
Sheila got up and walked toward the porthole. She turned and smiled at Anya.
Garin sends his best regards.
How do you know that name?
You didn't think you were the only woman to have ever met him, did you?
Of course not. But neither did I think that a complete stranger would know anything about him, at least not here.
As I said, this isn't what it looks like.
It never is when Garin is involved. Why are you here, Sheila?
To help Garin recover something of interest. Something that shouldn't fall into the wrong hands.
And whose hands would those be? Mine?
Not at all. Garin's not trying to keep anything from you. Far from it. He'd like your help on this, if possible. But we weren't sure if you'd even be involved, which is why I'm here.
How did you even know that this job was tied to Hunter? From what he told me, he was able to keep all reference to this out of the advertisement.
I don't need to tell you how utterly transparent most computer systems are these days, even with their supposedly impenetrable firewalls.
Why the interest in Hunter?
Because he's the only one who's been convinced from the start that the Phantom was actually hauling captured booty back to Britain. Pretty much everyone else in the treasure-hunting community blows it off as a wild goose chase.
And if he's determined to bring it up, then that represents a problem for you guys.
Of course. Garin was never concerned about it before. As long as it stayed on the ocean floor, he was content to let it lie. But Hunter is not content to let that happen, so other steps had to be taken. I was told to infiltrate and safeguard it.
From me?
This isn't about you, Anya. Besides, from what I hear, you've already got your hands full with another relic.
You know.
Pretty much everything. Yep.
And Garin was comfortable with that?
That's beside the point. The real danger here is if this relic falls into the hands of the other party.
Who?
In time. For right now, let's just say they are extremely dedicated to getting their hands on the relic first. We've already seen some of their attempts.
Not the engine room fire.
Just a slight distraction. If they'd wanted it, we'd all be dead right now.
Wonderful. What is this thing, and why do they want it?
It belonged to the same woman as your sword.
Joan of Arc? What was it about her that prompted such attention?
Her single-minded devotion to God's service. When she was burned at the stake, the sword wasn't the only thing taken from her, and believed to have been destroyed. When she was tied to the stake, they took the small crucifix from around her neck. Since they considered her a heretic, they assumed she wouldn't need it.
So the crucifix is down there?
It was a gift from the French to Washington after his inauguration as the first president. The legend surrounding the necklace was whispered about in tight circles. Rumors of what it could do abounded, but no one ever paid much attention to it. The necklace was to be kept safe and secured in the White House.
What's it supposed to be able to do?
It supposedly renders the wearer immortal.
Supposedly. You don't know for sure?
Can you tell me exactly what that sword of yours does, or where it goes, or even every one of its powers?
I wouldn't even try to convince you of that. It seems to have plenty of hidden assets I can't understand.
Exactly. That's the problem with the crucifix. We don't really know how it works. It's not like we could experiment with it, but the threat of what it can potentially do is enough to spur our intervention.
You want to keep this out of the hands of someone very powerful, I take it.
Can you imagine what would happen if an evil party got their hands on this? If they could figure out how to tap into the hidden properties of the necklace?
They'd grow unchecked. I can see the threat. But how do we stop it?
By getting the crucifix first.
Well, that means going underwater. I don't think I need to bring up the danger that waits below the surface.
The shark is a problem.
A big one. I'm used to dealing with humans. Giant flesh-eating fish or something else entirely.
It's going to have to be dealt with. We need that treasure brought up, and the crucifix either safeguarded or destroyed.
Destroyed? How would we do that?
Smelting it would render it useless. At least, that's what the legends tell us. We don't really know if it would work.
Wonderful. This is turning into quite a trip.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm not exactly thrilled to be here either.
Anya looked at her and realized how similar they seemed to be. Even the way Sheila carried herself reminded Anya of how she behaved on occasion. And Anya could see the resolve in Sheila's eyes.
Garn's been training you for a long time?
Almost 10 years.
You don't look that old.
I'm not, thank you very much. I'm your age. Garn recruited me when I was much younger.
How'd he find you?
I don't think that's germane to our conversation right now.
I'd like to know. After all, it feels like you have an unfair advantage over me in that you know all about my past.
Fine. Let's just say that I was something of a wild child. I dropped out of high school and found my way to New York, where I did some modeling. I didn't particularly care where my life led me. I met Garn at some high-class event. He took me home and seduced me. But when I expected him to just use me for his own enjoyment, he wanted something else.
What was that?
To become an operative for him. He told me something about his life and how limited he was in being able to freely move around the world. He told me that if I agreed, he would train me to be able to handle any situation. And he would pay me very well.
Go on.
Garn spent 5 years teaching me all he knew about pretty much everything under the sun. He's been around an awfully long time.
So you know all about Garn?
I know about the ongoing struggle between the forces of good and evil, of which Garn is a part. As are you.
I was drafted. Unlike you, I wasn't given much of a choice. I wish I had been.
And if you had declined, you would most likely be dead by now.
Oh, thanks for the vote of confidence.
It's not that I doubt your abilities, Anya. After all, I've had the chance to see them up close and personal. But have you ever thought about how our lives unfurl from the spool we're born with? Our actions and decisions always seem to lead us inevitably toward a crux. Your life led you to the point where you encountered the sword, and it became a part of you.
So?
So, if you had rejected it at that point, somehow, and I'm not saying you could have, because I don't know enough about it, it seems like it would have been a rejection of not just the sword, but of your entire life. What would have been the point of living anymore?
Well, I wouldn't have become suicidal or anything.
Perhaps not consciously, but your actions and thoughts would have subconsciously led you away from your destiny. And when someone rejects their destiny so completely, the universe seems to want to hit the reset button.
You're saying I would have brought about my own death?
Most likely.
What a rosy outlook on life that is.
I only speak from my own experiences, Anya. I'm not casting judgment on you and yours. Look at my life. I was headed for a cliff when I met Garn. If I'd rejected him at that point, I know for certain I would be dead now.
Really?
The drugs, the sex, something. I don't know. Any one of them or a combination would have led me further and further astray until I overdosed or got some horrible disease. It was only a matter of time.
Garn became your sword then.
That's one way of looking at it, I guess. He came along at a particular time, much like the sword did with you. I guess that's one of the great mysteries of life, how things seem to happen at just the right moment.
I've seen enough not to believe in coincidence anymore. So the question now seems to be, how do we deal with the shark terrorizing this boat and all who would dive?
Isn't it obvious?
Not yet.
You're going to have to deal with it, Anya. You're going to have to kill the shark so we can get to the treasure.
You're out of your mind. I'll be more than happy to help you recover the crucifix, but I'm not going into combat with some giant fish. No way.
Anya got up to leave, but Sheila put up her hand.
Remember what we were just talking about?
What?
You are where you are for a reason. And for you to deny that is tempting the fates in the very worst way.
I've been tempting fate a lot longer than you know. I just don't see how I can help.
You can help because your sword is here on this boat, right now. And you know that the shark can't survive against it.
The sword's not perfect. Neither is the wielder of it. You may have bought into the whole good versus evil thing, but I still struggle with it. Sometimes I don't even want this sword. Sometimes all I want is my old life back. Or at least the life I thought belonged to me.
You're not the only one, Anya.
Suppose I agree to go through with it. How would we even do it? The shark is huge. I'll never last long enough to get close.
We've got the cage that Cole had shipped in, right?
You think I can kill the shark from inside the cage?
Maybe.
It'd be me sticking my sword out between the bars, poking at it, and probably losing it in the process.
You can't lose it. You simply will it back to where it rests when you aren't using it.
Garin told you about that?
As I said, Garin tries to explain a lot of things so I'm better prepared when I go out on operations. There was a chance you would be here, albeit a small one, but we hoped you'd show up.
How so?
We know about your relationship with Cole. We knew about Hunter, and it was hoped there would be a convergence of situations.
Cole and I don't really have a relationship. We're just friends.
Call it whatever you want, but the fact remains we have to deal with that shark.
We've got to deal with the traitor on board the boat as well. Otherwise, the shark is going to be the least of our problems.
Hunter and Cole should be able to figure out who the traitor is without our help. We've got bigger fish to fry. Pardon the pun.
How are they going to narrow it down?
You left them to handle things while you came after me.
Yeah, but I thought you were the traitor.
And you told them to carry on because you felt certain there was someone else working on the ship, right?
How'd you know that?
Garin taught me very well. I've had this entire boat wired for sound for days now. I heard everything you said after I left. It's how I was able to be ready for your sudden appearance.
Wonderful.
Well, the important thing is they'll be fine without our help. You and I need to figure out the shark. Once we get that taken care of, Hunter and Cole will have found the traitor, and then we can get down to the business of securing the crucifix.
And just who are we keeping the crucifix away from?
I don't know if I can answer that. Garin didn't specifically tell me to share the information with you. Need to know and all that.
Let me make myself clear. If you expect me to go into the water and face down some huge shark, then you can get right on the horn to Garin and tell him he'd better start sharing the goods on who is after this thing. And if he doesn't, he can come on out here and take on the shark himself, because I'll be gone.
Okay, just calm down.
I am calm. I just take a very long view of things when my own mortality is involved.
I'll get Garin on the phone. In the meantime, will you promise to keep this quiet?
Who am I going to tell?
Hunter and Cole.
You don't want them knowing you're in the clear?
Not yet.
Why?
It will probably help flush out the real culprit if I'm still suspected of being the traitor.
I can't keep it from them for very long.
Just let them think that you've got me buttoned up and I'll get clearance from Garin. Then we can go see them.
Fine. I'm going to lie down. But move fast. I want more information than what I've got so far.